Infendo Radio is on now.
So, hey, what's going on, Chris? It's Infendo time, you ready?
It's Infendo time, let's party hard, make it happen.
Hey everybody, it's Infendo Radio, episode something. It's the first of the month, we're ready to record a podcast,
episode
I'm excited.
Something.
I'm pretty sure that this would be 352 or 351, but the last episode we recorded kind of went into the ether because technical issues. But here we're back again. It's okay. How you doing, Chris?
Here we are. You're good, man. I'm tired, but I'm doing good. Making it happen.
Yeah. Got to work that early shift tomorrow morning. So yeah, I know how
that
goes.
Party. What about you? What have you been up to?
Nothing. Just work, a little bit of Pokemon Go, gotta catch them all, been trying anyways.
How's
your Pokemon collection going?
It's good, sorry, I'm not too happy with it, but I leveled up to level 12, so I guess I'm a moderate player now, compared to like a level,
okay.
Like, you know, making it happen, taking care of business, partying.
Well, I gotta say, after that latest update, I kind of haven't really played quite as much as I'd like to. Have you downloaded the update that kind of messes with the tracking?
No, not yet. No, I haven't, and one of the reasons why is I'm scared it's going to wipe my database, and then I'm not going to be happy at all.
Yeah, you just never know with this Pokemon Go thing. I mean, it's kind of crazy right now. It's if you haven't heard, the new update for Pokemon Go is out for Android and iOS, and it does a lot of things. Some of them good, a lot of them bad.
What? Name one thing that was good that it did.
Stability issues on iOS. My app doesn't crash nearly as much, so I guess that's
a
plus.
I didn't have that but issue. Android.
Android for life. Well, Andrew's, you know, one of the reasons why it was crashing so much is because of the power saver mode that was on the iOS version. I think it was on the
iOS.
Android version too.
Yeah,
but they removed it from the Android or from the iOS version, which, I mean, it doesn't bug me that much because every time I had it on and then I put my phone in my pocket and tried to turn it back on or look at the thing or whatever, it would crash anyway, so it didn't even work. So that's why
it didn't matter. It didn't matter. The whole game was broken.
Right? But
it's a fun game. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I still think it's a fantastic game, despite all of the despite all of the problems that it's been having. Niantic's pulling kind of like a, it almost seems like an EA type deal right now, where they just don't care. They know they're going to print money and they don't care. Whatever. We'll fix it when we fix it, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy to me, right? And that kind of does seem to be what their take on it is right now. I don't know if they didn't anticipate the server load or what, but I mean, we're near on a month in, so you would think
it's a drive club, a whole drive club fiasco again.
Oh boy, don't get me started. Actually, I like that.
I know, I do too. Yeah, it's the same. I mean, that's what I feel like with it. And then you've got Nintendo and them both bullying people who are making like those radar things and all that stuff. They're bullying them out of making fun, you know, having fun, and it's interesting. Very interesting.
Well, yeah, that's part of that update too, because not only did it remove tracking entirely on the game. I remember the first like 2 days, 3 days of me playing that game. There was a feature where there would be footprints, and then there was a Pokemon that was close to you, it'd be 1 footprint away, and medium 2 footprints, and far away 3 footprints. But then, like a week, not even a week after the game was launched, something happened where it was always 3 footprints away, and now there's no footprints at all, and you can't even click on a Pokemon to like put it in the window individually, you know, and like track it. You can't even do
track
that.
It, yeah.
It's like they just took away functionality. But the crappy part about that, which you alluded to, is that this update also blocked those like Pokemon third-party tracking websites from even functioning. Like PokeVision was one of the ones that I used most often, and it doesn't even work anymore. So
yeah.
it's a shame. But I'll still play.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know.
I know. There's nothing better to do when you're bored.
Yeah.
So, no, definitely. No, it's still. Yeah, it's good. It's still a really good game, and I just hope that Niantic doesn't watch this, you know, cornucopia of opportunity, just let it go down the drain or rot. You know what I mean? It's their baby. They've been doing it for a while now, and they should own it and take pride in it. And I just don't feel like
right.
they're doing that, and that has me a little nervous for sure. So,
right. Well, I mean, also with kind of included in this Pokemon Go news is news that Nintendo has. Well, we talked about before how much their stock had increased before, and it was
right.
like ridiculous earnings for them, like hand over fist. But then, early last week, Nintendo came out with some kind of a financial statement, or I'm not exactly sure where it was released, but basically they were telling their investors, look, we don't actually own Pokemon Go. The Pokemon Company owns Pokemon Go, and Niantic is the developer behind it, and we own X amount of the Pokemon Company, who in turn is partnering with Niantic, so...
But they're really not making a whole lot of money off of this.
Right, yeah, I mean, they're going to see their royalties and or whatnot, like, but at the same time, it's they're not going to be making as much money as a lot of investors thought they would, which made their stock dive that day, not as much as they went up in the previous weeks before that, but yeah, that happened. And then shortly after that, they also said that they were delaying the Pokemon Go Plus, the wearable device, until September. So, I don't know. It seems like an avalanche of... I've never seen...
bad decisions.
Something, right, like Pokemon Go took the world on fire. And then I've never, ever seen it an about-face from public perception seemingly just like... demonizing Nintendo and Niantic and the Pokemon Company over some of the decisions they've made in the last couple of weeks. It's pretty crazy.
Right.
But hey, that's
right.
Internet.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, it's the internet. It is pretty wild. I don't know. Do you feel like that it's kind of this well-deserved, or do you think that, you know, it's just a growing pain, or what do you feel about it?
My thought is that like I said, I don't think Niantic realized what this was going to do, like how it was going to explode. I don't think anybody could have predicted that, you know? And from what I've read, or from some of the theories that I've read, like the steps thing, for example, the reason why they took that away is because it was like pinging their servers every time,
right.
too often, and that was making the servers unstable, okay, fine, I can see that, but fix it. And in the
yeah.
meantime, why...
Yeah, get more servers.
Right, and then while you're fixing it, why don't you let the PokeVisions or the PokeRadars of the world exist, you know? Like, don't
right.
kill them, because they're helping your player base to...
Grow.
They're helping your player base grow, and they're helping you out, because it's a service of yours that is not working right now, you know? It's like, so...
Right.
So you're gonna completely remove a feature, and then at the same time tell these other services that are only helping to grow your player base that they can't exist anymore. I don't know. It just seems like a very strange decision to me. Lots of very strange decisions
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah,
hey, they're
absolutely.
Making money.
I know.
They're making money, so we'll see.
I know.
But yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll just have to see how Pokemon Go, the Pokemon Go Watch continues. Basically. So,
right.
yeah. Well, that, I guess, leads us into our next little news topic. And it's also kind of a somber one. Reggie Fils-Aimé, came out in an interview with, let me see if I can find the actual news site. I know it was a Spanish website. I'll link it in the notes. But it was translated by Nintendo Everything, and I'm just going to go ahead and read this. It's a couple of sentences in regards to why the Wii U may have not done so well. So he said, when we launched Wii U, we missed the opportunity to be clear on the concept, to show off its capabilities and what the users could do. and that hurt us. Sales were also hurt during the beginning of its lifespan by the lack of games. And although we've sold 13 million consoles against 20 to 40 million from the competition, what pleases us the most is that Wii U has the games with the best reviews and ratings from fans. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think about that, Chris?
It's interesting. He very delicately told everybody, yeah, we're in last place, but we really don't care because it's still enough money, and we, you know, hopefully we'll learn from it on our next thing, is what I'm taking from it. I don't know. I don't really know why he would say those things and then, like, sugarcoat it, saying that the games are the best, you know, probably to keep his job or something. I just thought it was
an interesting quote to pull, just because, I mean, you can't, it's no secret that Nintendo is way behind in this generation of consoles, like, so behind that they're going to come out with another generation of consoles here pretty soon. So,
right.
We'll
I don't
see.
Get why,
we'll see.
What I don't understand is how, like, they knew from the very beginning that they didn't have enough good titles on it, and that they didn't really give, like, a good explanation as to what the user could do with the console. They knew that from the very beginning.
Right.
They've always, I feel like they've kind of done that since the GameCube. The difference is that the Wii was something that was never done before. You know what I mean? You didn't have that type of control peripheral, almost like in between virtual reality and not. And, it's a very,
yeah, I mean,
I like the Wii U. I enjoy it. I enjoy the games. Yeah, they took a huge gamble, and they, I mean, let's be honest, they lost on it, which kind of sucks, because they've always done that. It's got me nervous for the next system, thinking that they might be a little bit hesitant to do something really crazy or outlandish, like they tried with these last two consoles. Because that's what makes Nintendo so damn good.
Right. Well, the reason why I bring this quote up is just because, you know, we're so close to NX, if it's going to be coming out in March like they are seemingly shooting for. So hopefully they're going to take what they learned from the Wii U and take it and turn it into a positive for the NX, you know?
Right,
I think Nintendo has that in them to not be stupid with their next console. So we'll see what happens.
No, definitely interesting. Yeah, very interesting quote,
but,
too. I didn't know about that.
Well, so now let's get to a little bit more positive news. So Ubisoft, they came and they said that they have some surprises that are not announced yet for the NX. So they did announce that they're going to be working on Just Dance 2017. That's going to be a game that comes out for the NX, but they came out and said that they have a few other games that they're going to be working on as well. So I don't know. We don't know what they're going to be. I'm sure that, I mean, I'm not sure, but I would imagine that, like, an Assassin's Creed port or something from the, I know there's not going to be an Assassin's Creed game this year for the Xbox One and PS4, but maybe a port of a previous Assassin's Creed game, or I don't know what they have a lot of stuff Ubisoft does. What do you think?
Yeah, Ubisoft.
Come out with.
My heart would wish for like a really cool Tom Clancy game or something, but I'm gonna have to go with something like almost like a Skylanders type game, or something that's more kid oriented. You know what I mean?
So you think it's gonna be a new IP?
Yeah, I think so. And it's a big company. You're right. They'll probably come out with a bunch of ports, and I bet you they'll have one or two new games coming out. We'll see.
Yeah, well, the Wii, they came out at launch, and they had that Rayman Raving Rabbids game, and that was a new IP, I guess. I mean, Rayman isn't new, but the Raving Rabbids are, that is like a different type of franchise, you know? So maybe they'll have some kind of spin-off like that or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see. I'd be curious to see who. Yeah, I mean, I can say we'll see 10,000 times. Nobody knows.
Right.
And that's what's cool about it. Like I said, we'll see.
Well, somebody's got to know what the NX is all about. I mean, Eurogamer, in fact, they even have they have this rumor that they think that they say that they know what the NX is going to be. Basically, they're saying that the NX is going to be a portable system with detachable physical controllers, and it's going to have all the power inside the unit, all that fun stuff. But That's weird to me. I don't know. What do you think? Is it? Do you think it's going to
be
like
all,
a screen with
all
two controllers on the side, or?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe
crazy.
Like, dude, who the hell knows? Seriously, like, what the hell does that even mean?
I guess by that they're maybe meaning that like everything is going to be included in the system, like the. So then you can, maybe it's like a screen on it, or, it's a holograph machine, Chris, I don't know.
It's a holograph machine. That's what it is, we're in the future right now, dude.
That's what I'm saying, it's crazy. This is crazy time right now. Nintendo, just tell us, I want to know.
Just say it's a handheld, get over it, be done with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked last time about the fake controllers and that
controller,
was printed,
yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh, like, well, nobody knows. That's why it's so fun, like you said, you know, it's just cool to speculate, I guess,
yeah.
But at the same time,
do you really
I
think it's going to have a screen? Do you think it's going to have a screen on the controller, like the kind
I
of patent
don't.
Is?
I don't. I'll be very surprised if that's what it actually is. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I you would think that they learned their lesson with the Wii U. It's still too expensive. It's still like $300 to get one of the systems, you know? It's like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. You think it'll be like a Samsung Edge type deal? That's what I'm picturing in my head. Like curved glass around the edges? I don't know, dude. I have no idea. It'd be very interesting.
Mm. I want buttons.
Right?
And
it's weird to be tapping glass the whole time. Buttons and sticks. Who doesn't want that?
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah, interesting.
So,
be curious. We'll see
yeah,
what happens.
Well, yeah, I am too. I don't know. Nobody does. Miyamoto probably doesn't even know. There's like one guy in Nintendo that has the full story.
He is.
Everybody has like bits
and pieces.
He is
the NX. I know, right?
Yeah. Miyamoto, they just, you buy a $300 NX and it's just a bus ticket for Miyamoto to go all around the country.
Yeah, to go party. What is that old part
well,
of
that,
you now, huh?
Hopefully making Pikmin 4. I'm ready.
Pikmin 4? He's working with Zelda.
Yeah.
He's pumped.
No, they won't let him near that anymore. He's all about, they want him on all his weird projects, I think. He's all about the Pikmin
and
true. The Star Fox Guard. I think he worked
on
Star Fox too, actually. He was an executive producer, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, so that's pretty much all the news we have for you all today. It's kind of a slow week. But
yep.
We did want to
kind of a
crush,
a sad
do,
week. Come on, Pokemon, where are you at? Make it happen.
Right? But we did want to take a minute to get you all
Did you
involved
see the new Pokemon? Wait, I forgot speaking. Hold on, I'm just going to cut you off there because I totally spaced out. Did you see the new Pokemon that are coming out? Yeah, the big execute giraffe thing? What the hell is that?
The Aloha version of him or whatever. I think
I thought this was a joke. I thought it was a joke. I was convinced it was a joke.
I did too.
When I watched it, I was like, this
I
is...
I did too.
Is it real? Is this real life? Is this a real thing that they're doing in this new game?
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to bring it up, but they did come out with some Pokemon Sun and Moon info today. And, there's going to be Aloha versions of different Pokemon. So
why are they ice? Why is Sandshrew ice? And Vulpix ice. What does that have to do with Hawaii? Hawaii doesn't even exist in Pokemon world.
Well, this isn't Hawaii, Chris. This is the, I don't know what region it is, but it's the region that's supposed to be like Hawaii, wink, wink, but not really.
What is going on?
Yeah.
It's a giraffe. It's a giraffe palm tree.
It's a giraffe palm tree. Yeah, look.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's crazy looking. But yeah, there's gonna be that execute looking thing and Z moves. I don't know. I'm trying to stay away from some of the Sun and Moon stuff because I want to be a little bit less spoiled than I was for Pokemon X and Y because I was reading everything for that and I was pretty. I never even finished that game because I kind of got spoiled on it before the game even came out. So I'm trying to do the opposite on this game.
My bad. I didn't mean to bring it up then. I just thought that he was cool looking and weird. And
oh, no, I think
time.
He looks crazy. Have you seen the memes that are popping up all over the internet? It's awesome.
No, already.
Yeah, but yeah, so I'll just read off a few of the things since you were talking about them, so then the listeners know what we're talking about. So some of the Aloha forms are going to be Vulpix, an ice form, like you said. Ninetales is going to have an ice fairy mode. The Sandshrew is going to be ice and steel, and Sandslash is going to be ice and steel as well, so... Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Let's see how.
What is execute, or what's the new execute thing? What is he? Is a mutant? They ran out of ideas.
I want to say it's dragon. Hold on, I just closed it off. Dragon and grass. So it's going to be a. It used to be psychic and grass, but his Aloha form is going to be a dragon type.
Dragon, interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Cool.
They've never really done. They've done like different Pokemon like. There's the surfing Pikachu and stuff like that, but that didn't really change up his type. It just gave him moves from a different type. Now there's going to be this Aloha type Pokemon or whatever, like I think it's going to kind of change everything up. It's pretty cool.
You're almost creating. You're done creating like the chart. You're creating like family trees now, or trees off of it, off
mm-hmm,
of each individual
mm-hmm,
Pokemon, which is pretty crazy. A Pokeception.
Right. So like when you're. When you're Pokeception. so like when your opponent brings out a Vulpix, you don't know if it's going to be an ice type or a fire type. Like it's
sick.
Mm-hmm. Think about the Pokemon World Championship. It's going to change.
I know. It's going to be out of control. It's going to be out of control.
Yeah. So as I was alluding to earlier, we're going to move on to Nintendo Top 5. Nintendo Top 5 is where y'all get involved. So we're going to take about a minute and a half. We're going to give you a topic, and then we're going to write our top 5 favorite Super Nintendo games this week. So, Chris, grab your pen, grab your paper, start writing. You got a minute and a half. Top 5 SNES games.
Okay, give me 1 second. Oh my god, this is hard.
Right?
This was a toughie. I'm brain farting.
I'm just having a hard time with my 5 and 6, because I know we're only supposed to have 5, but I have 6, and I need to get rid of
it. You're party animal? Oh my god. You're right, I'm having a toughie too, 5 and 6.
Alright, I figured out which one I'm going to get rid of.
Yeah, you did?
It did.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Alright, we got 15 seconds now, kids.
I got it, we're good. Okay, got it.
Alright, we're ready, so,
That would be the intro of every single episode. That will be just
my little ditty. The Nintendo Top 5. So we'll just go ahead and quickly read off our list and talk about it a little bit. But we'd like you guys to participate as well. So if you'd like to let us know what your top 5 SNES games are, go ahead and let us know at tips@nintendo.com. And let us know. So, Chris, what are your top 5 games?
My top 5 are...
It doesn't have to be any particular
order. It doesn't, or it does? Because that changes everything.
No.
my top 5, number 1, I mean, even without having to do it, number 1 is Mario Kart. That's
okay.
The bee's knees, hands down. And then I put F-Zero. For the second one.
Ooh, man, I forgot about that one.
Who I know. It's a gem. So good. The game is so good. Third one that I put, because I just remember growing up, like, this was the game that I used to play so much with my cousin as a kid and everything, was Yoshi's Island. I loved
good
that
game.
Yeah, love
underrated,
game.
I think. Fourth,
completely, right? Utterly, completely underrated. Mm-hmm. The first one is fantastic. Number 4 is Earthbound. And then number 5 was Chrono Trigger. And that's it.
Mm, you've got a pretty solid list.
I know. I felt good about it. Felt right.
Well, I'm going to start off with my number 6 because I'm going to stick that one in there anyways. But I'm glad you already put that on your list, so I don't feel too bad, which was Mario Kart. I had to kick Mario Kart off my list.
Okay. Thanks, Doc. No, I got you. I had you. I was making sure.
Well, but the rest of my list goes, and this is actually, my number one game is easy because it's actually my favorite game of all time, and that's Illusion of Gaia. If you haven't ever played that game, go out.
Yes, I have. I have played that game. I didn't even think about it. Fantastic game.
Good. It's really good. Old school Enix
game
before it was Square Enix.
Square Enix, yeah. Good call. Good call, dude.
So then, like you, I also have a game that I just remember playing with, like, friends and family, multiplayer-wise, and that game was Turtles in Time. That game was heck fun. I love that game. And
Turtles in Time?
Do you ever play that game?
No, I have not.
It's a Konami game. So if you've ever played the Konami, like, X-Men arcade game or anything like that, you'll get the gist of it. It's kind of the same thing.
Okay.
It's really
fun,
though.
Well,
you'll have to come over and we'll play it. So let's see. My list continues with Link to the Past, really good Zelda game, obviously. I don't really need to tell you about that. I'm sure you know about it. Super Mario World and Super Metroid, because those were...
Metroid. Good call, doggy.
Yeah, Super Metroid is it's definitely in my, like, top 10 favorite games of all time, maybe even top 5. It's a classic.
Yes, it is. Pretty good. Dang! Good. Well, that was a good list. Metroid. I didn't even think about Metroid. I didn't. Didn't even cross my mind. I was thinking Star Fox for a brief moment, and I caught myself.
Yeah,
And then Street Fighter was the other one.
Ooh, girl, Street Fighter 2, or Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Right? Yes, Turbo, dog. Come on. Kid around.
Yeah, get that championship edition out of here.
Right, get it out of here. And what about the Spot game? That was good. Man, there were so many good games. What happened?
The SNES is, like, probably my favorite system. I don't know, Game Boy Advance is pretty up there for me, too. But, and Xbox 360, to be honest, that was a good system.
It was a good system. That was pretty good. 360 was good.
Yeah. Speaking of other systems, we're going to move on to our Nintendo Change the System segment, where we talk about other games from other systems that we've been playing. And honestly, I haven't really been playing too many other games, but so I'm going to go ahead and let you start. Have you been playing any games since we last talked?
Yes, I will tell everybody to go buy a PlayStation 4 to go get and play Journey. That is one. That game is absolutely fantastic.
Well, you can get it on PlayStation 3 also.
Who cares? I don't care. Just go play the stupid game. Like, I don't care what system, play the game. It is so good. It's so fantastic. Oh my gosh, it's so good. The atmosphere is insane. And when you start getting people on that are just randomly generated on, they just help you out. It's a really cool feeling. And it's really, really interesting. Very interesting. I like it.
When I first played that game, I didn't realize that those other people that were there were actually other people.
Players,
But then once you beat the game, have you beat it?
No, not yet. No, I'm still cruising through
it. I won't spoil it. Good game.
No, the game is fantastic. The other one is Uncharted, the new Uncharted I've been playing a little bit of, and I love that, too.
Okay.
Fantastic game. Those are the two big ones that I've been playing a lot lately. Oh, and Amplitude. Still play Amplitude. Still party.
Nice. I'm glad you brought up Amplitude, because I really quickly wanted you to bring up your website that you've been working on about the music, and because you talked to a producer from Amplitude, somebody who had music in Amplitude, right?
Yes, I did. Thank you for bringing that up, actually. I'll shamelessly plug. Thank you very much, man. I just recently started a music blog on the side, and my goal is primarily focused towards urban music, so hip-hop, electronica, EDM, dance, and everything in between for it. And I managed to just buy Amplitude on a whim because I remember growing up and playing that game, and they came out with like a remastered version of it for the PlayStation 4 on the online game. And I picked it up, and it's so good, man. The music is so catchy. It's all original stuff. And this is done by the guys of Harmonix, so the guys who did Guitar Hero, in case people are unaware of who it is. This game came out before that. So this was basically, this is the grandfather, I guess you could say, of like modern music games. And one of the songs I fell in love with by an artist named Wolfgun, and the song name is Lights, and it's a drum and bass track. And this guy, I managed, while starting my website, HelvetiMusic.com, I wanted to start getting some really good interviews with up-and-coming artists or stuff that I found interesting. And this dude was so open. I shot him an email, had a fantastic interview with him about, you know, how he makes his music, who he is as a guy, you know, what his sound is, what his style is, a really cool guy. And, yeah, he was on Amplitude for that track, and I managed to interview him about it, which was pretty cool. And, you know, it's pretty cool to see musicians and artists and producers be so forthcoming towards a small blog and stuff like that. So definitely check it out, HelvetiMusic.com, party.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, I personally have read your articles and everything like that, and that was a really cool, interesting interview. Even if you don't have a PlayStation 4, or have played Amplitude, I recommend you guys go give that interview a read, because it's pretty good read. It's interesting to see how that guy got his music in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Super. He's a fantastic producer. All this stuff is really cool because he doesn't really stick to one specific genre of music, which makes him very. I want to say it makes him easy going because he knows a lot about a whole spectrum of music. And it's pretty cool. And all this stuff is on, what's it called, Bandcamp. He doesn't charge for any of it. You can download it and give him a penny if you wanted to. You can give him $100. It doesn't matter. So he's a really cool guy and pretty interesting stuff. And thank you, man. Thanks for shamelessly plugging. I appreciate it a lot, actually.
Of course. Well, yeah. So I'm glad that you got to do that interview. And it all came from, what, just playing a video game and shooting that guy an email. I mean, that's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, really, really neat. And hopefully, I don't know, maybe someone will come from it. We'll try and get some of these guys who are in video games, maybe give them some interviews and stuff and see what they say. And I'll be happy to post more content on it. And we'll direct feed it to Infendo as well for you guys to read if it's video game related.
Awesome. Yeah, great. So, yeah, I haven't really been playing too much like I had said, but I have been still playing Overwatch. It's still good. And the only other game that I really put any significant time into was this game called Castle Storm. And the only reason I've been playing it is because it was one of the games with gold, so it was free for the month on Xbox.
Oh, okay.
But it's actually pretty... Yeah. Yeah. It's actually pretty cool, though. It's kind of hard to describe. It's like, think Angry Birds, for one, because you have to go and destroy another castle by, like, flinging catapults or shooting ballistas or whatever at it. So there's that kind of aspect. But then there's also, like, I don't know if you've ever played, like, a tower defense type of game before, but where there's just, like, constantly enemies creeping towards you. It's got that kind of aspect, too. Your opponent can send, like, infantry units towards you, and you can send infantry units towards them. It's a really cool game. It was free, so that's the reason why I think it was cool. I don't know if I would have paid any money for it, but, hey, if you got it for free and you haven't played it yet, play it. It's cool. And
I would recommend it.
Is it good? Is that good, huh? $5-$10. Oh, I was just going to say, I know it's on Steam for cheap. It's always like $5 or $8 on Steam.
Oh, okay.
So if you, if anybody is looking for a pretty cheap game that will give you some hours of enjoyment, give it a shot. Castle Storm.
Very cool. I have to check it out. Is it on PS4 too or no? It's just on...
It's actually on everything. It's on... I played it on Xbox One, but it's actually a Wii U title as well. It's on Xbox 360, it's on PlayStation Vita, it's on PlayStation 4, it's on PlayStation 3, it's on Steam. Anything. You can. It's by Zen Studios, so... Yeah, it's on everything.
Yeah. The one thing I was going to say, too, I actually tried that 7-day trial of PlayStation Now. Is that what it's called? Online streaming service. Pretty cool, actually. Yeah, really cool. Pretty impressive piece of technology. So basically, if people don't know what it is, you basically get charged like $20 a month or whatever, and they have a constant, like, you know, revolving lineup of games that they pump out, and you can basically play this game online as a streamable game, if that makes any sense to you. So it'll pull the game from the server at Sony, and then you basically are streaming it to your device to play it. Pretty alien.
Right. So basically, cool. Your system isn't really doing any of the horsepower aside from getting the providing the bandwidth to stream to your TV or whatever, I guess.
Yes. Yes. Super cool. It what's mind blowing is that you can play online with people while you're doing this. It's really cool. Yeah. Yeah. Super cool. Basically,
what kinds of games are on the service right now?
Name it. Name a big game that's on there. The Last of Us, Uncharted, they've got all the God of Wars are on there. A ton of, like, a couple, you know, like 2 or 3 year old racing games, ton of RPGs. They've got some stuff on there, man. Resident Evil titles are on there, fighting games.
So
they're confident enough to put a fighting game on there.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I feel like if they're confident enough to put a fighting game on there that requires, like, really quick timing to actually play with another person, you know what I mean? It's just mind-blowing to me. It's really crazy. Would I pay money for it?
So now, that's what I was going to get to. Would you like, forego buying physical copies of games or downloading them digitally and then exclusively streaming your PlayStation games from here on out? At this point, is that
my,
something you would consider
doing? I would say no. I would say if you have the extra $20 for that month, do it, just because there's a ton of, like, old classics on there that if you haven't played them for years, you know, it's cool to get on and play them. I would say no, and the main reason is that, A, the titles that they have on there are already getting kind of old, and B...
So you're not going to, like, have your new Call of Duty on there, probably.
Yeah, no, there's no way. And the quality just isn't there. I mean, I live in rural New Mexico, so for me, it's not, my internet speed, even at full force, just, it buffers every once in a while, and it's really freaking annoying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I was going to ask too, how's the video quality, but I guess you kind of answered
it. It's good. Most of the time, I would say good to very good, but not outstanding. On average, very good. But not over the top, like, holy crap, you know, this is like really playing it right off of your hard drive or whatever.
So it's pretty much, I the way I've heard it compared to is like the difference between streaming a Netflix movie and watching the Blu-ray of that movie.
Exactly. That's exactly what it would be like. That's exactly what it would be like, with just a little bit less quality, picture quality.
Right. Well, you know, that I've always said that if anybody has the wherewithal and the back catalog to do it, it would actually be Nintendo out of all Nintendo.
Yeah, that's true.
Just because they have the back catalog. I mean, imagine if you can pay $15 to $20 a month, but then you had access to every single NES game, every single SNES game made by Nintendo anyways. And then maybe a few from third parties. Like, I mean, you're talking hundreds of games there.
Yeah. The thing that I have to think about with that is, well, okay, would you rather have somebody be charged for a service that costs a lot of money in infrastructure-wise to make, right? You have to think, because they have to buy servers for this thing. They have to, you know, do maintenance on it constantly. They have to make sure everything's going to work properly. And then on your end, to top it off, you have to have a super fast internet connection for it to look good, stuff like that. I feel like Nintendo's on a better path if they were to release those games individually as, like, HD remakes and do that with them. So basically what Sony's already done with all their stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that would be a great idea for, like, I'm just talking about, like, older, like, NES and SNES games, maybe
right.
Putting the subscription service to that. I don't know if that would be so effective, like, if you're going to be going as far-reaching as, like, Wii and Wii U games. I mean, Nintendo has too much money to make in those. I mean, how many times have I bought the original Super Mario Brothers on a whole bunch of different platforms, you know?
So, right.
I don't know. I think Nintendo just has too much to lose in that. But I think it would be consumer friendly. I think that would be a very a bold move for them to make, like, on the side of the consumer. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's anything that Nintendo has in their future, but, yeah, it's interesting that Sony's doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's cool. Super cool. So check that out. I would at least say do the 7-day trial to test it out, because it is pretty cool. It's a cool little gimmick. I just don't foresee... I don't know. They'd have... It's a huge catalog of games, but it's a huge catalog of crap on top of the good games that are in there. You have to kind of plow
mm-hmm,
through it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a letdown. Like, why would you even think about putting that game in here for that those two people who've played that game or even purchased it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Right. Well, cool, man. Well, I think that's all we've got for this week. But before we go, I'd like to thank my guest, Chris, my co-host as always, for being
thank
here.
You, sir.
Where can we find you on the internet? I know that you've already plugged your website, but let's go ahead and give everybody that again, and then your Twitter handle, so then they can follow you.
I don't have a Twitter. I need to get on that. That's my next big project, is getting a Twitter set up. So that needs
mm-hmm.
to be sorted out.
Homework.
Homework. Yeah, that's my next big thing. We've already said the blog site, which is helvetimusic.com. HELVETIMusic.com. I'm tired. Yeah, check that out. Really cool. There's a link. There should be a link on there to the Helvetti Facebook page. And then my name's Chris McHale, or Christopher McHale, and you can just search me on Facebook, and I'll pop right up. That big fat Portuguese flag. The soccer flag. So can't miss it. So yeah, if you guys want to hit up and discuss some Nintendo stuff, discuss some music, discuss Nintendo music, I'm your guy to talk to you about it. Let's hang out and have some fun.
Cool. Yeah, and you could, of course, follow me at Nintendo.com, and then my Twitter is at Nintendo Eugene. So that's it, guys. I hope you guys had a good listen. We had a good talk, and we will see y'all next week. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Senor Eugene. Appreciate it. See you guys
mm-hmm.
later.
Mm-hmm.